Savages, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First off, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Trust me, people, you're going to love it. Thank you. Welcome to the Savage Empire, where we are all savages in that box. Happy New Year, everybody. Everything is much better now, right? No, probably not. But it is a new year, and that's something we can all build on, right? Hopefully. 2021. Hopefully this year will bring us everything we all wanted and more. Except for you Red Sox fans. Fuck you. And Astro fans, go fuck yourselves too. We're talking about the CC documentary. We're going to talk about Gary Sanchez. We're going to talk about DJ, of course. And we're going to talk about Tanaka. And we're going to talk about something that came across my timeline last night that is a little bit upsetting. A lot upsetting to a lot of people. I'm sure there's a certain side of people that are just fine with it. I'm wondering if it was joke related, because it's definitely not a good look one way or the other. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know. If you don't, we'll get into it, trust me. But we're going to start off with this, and it just might be the greatest signing ever for the Yankees. And all I can say is, get your champagne ready. All right. We're going to win the World Series this year, just on this signing alone. Big signing, everybody. Big signing. Listen here.
Fail the game. Mit the mail amargar Socrates. De los Saste Socrates.
Socrates. Hey, we know that name.
Yeah. Hey, look him up. Oh, it's under Socrates.
Oh, yeah.
I had to. I couldn't resist. And you're welcome. That's right, everybody. Socrates is here. Socrates. The man that is going to put us over the top. The Yankees have agreed to a minor league contract with outfielder Socrates Brito. 28. Let's see. He's currently playing in the Dominican League, I think, on the same team as Andujar right now, who made a... well, let's just say less than stellar play in the outfield yesterday. God. Basically, as a fifth outfielder right now, I guess. Possibly sixth outfielder, depending on what they do with Gardner. But Socrates is here. And that's all we need. Great job, Brian. Great job. Really filling in that depth. Which, you know what, I'm going to transition that right into kind of a rant that I was starting to have last night, thinking about it. You know, we're sitting on our hands here. I don't know if Cashman, kind of half-jokingly, I guess, is waiting for his paychecks to cash, excuse me, or what? Because he, the Yankees are crying poverty. And this man is not making any moves at all. So creates Brito. Okay. Outfield depth, I'm sure it doesn't cost you much. That's a cheap poverty move. Big upside. Lefty bat. A little bit of pop. Plays well at Yankee Stadium. Okay. I get it. I think we all get it. We all see it. Okay, what's next? Because if all we're doing is waiting on DJ, then is that it? Is that the only signing we're going to get? DJ, let's say, I know he's stuck on 5. And I'm hearing he wants like 25 per around there, which is crazy in my opinion. And if the Yankees don't want to pay that, I don't blame them. Because if it was me, I'd let him walk. I mean, that's incredibly insane. But is that it? Are we just going to let that be the move? Nope, he's seeking a 5-year, $100 million contract. So 25 a year. No, excuse me. That's not right. My math is not very good. So the Yankees are trying to stretch 4 years between 75 and 80. 80 is what I was saying at the beginning of the offseason when we were first talking about this. This was right around where I thought that would be the max. 4 years, $80 million, 20 a year. And if he wants the fifth year and the Yankees want to, you know what, split the difference. The fifth year should be $10 million. So make it a 5-year, $90 million deal, and let's get it done. That's not too hampering for this franchise. All right? You're getting a discount on that extra year that you didn't want to pay, so he should take less. Am I wrong? Is 5 years, $90 million not a good deal? So you're giving him the 20 for the 4 that you wanted to give him, and then you split the difference in the fifth year. Done. And if DJ wants more than that, if he's firm, well then I hear the Dodgers are in on him. I hear Toronto might be in on him. There's always the Mets lurking, I'm sure. Well, if they want to pay him his 25 per, take him. And we'll find somebody else. And normally, I'm usually on the player side of these things. And 90% of me, I'm still on his side, but it's a little bit much. And, his asking 25 a year, or 22 or whatever, is a little much. That's not the Yankee discount that you pretty much wanted to give them for staying. No, you want what you want. And listen, he's entitled to ask for what he wants. And if he gets it, he gets it. Great. Most times these players do get it, or damn close to it. But, let him walk if his demands get to be too unreasonable, because there's so many holes to fill that I know he's priority number one, but he's holding everything up. And that takes me right back to my point. It's getting a little crazy. And luckily, COVID has fucked up things so much that teams are selling. A lot of teams haven't even begun to spend money yet. So I don't know if the Yankees are waiting for the prices to come down as we get later, which is probably a good strategy. But at the same time, if there's a guy out there that you want, go get him. Other moves on this team should not affect the DJ contract. I'm sorry. We have big holes on this team that need to be filled. You can't be serious with this rotation. They're not ready yet. Garrett Cole and four question marks. Gumby is a reliable, stable four at best. Three if you have to. That's it. He's good for, at best, 15 wins, 13 wins, the 15 wins. With it like probably a low four ERA. And that's your second best pitcher right now. And you're thinking Garcia had a great year last year. Okay, he did. You think they're going to let him throw 200 innings this year? Because 200 innings is what we need. No. So what's he going to get you? Best case scenario, 13 to 15 wins. He's going to pitch a lot of 6-inning games. 5-inning games. They're going to stretch him out. Because he's never pitched that much, and what they need from him is death. And there's Herman coming back. And 2 years ago when he pitched, he had 18 wins, and he looked really good. But he's never pitched as much as we need him to pitch. That was the most innings he pitched that year. And then he had his domestic violence thing, and he was suspended all year. Who knows what we're getting out of him? Who knows if they're going to move him? Now, Cashman and Boone had a talk with him. They said the talk went the way they wanted it to go. And if he's truly sorry and he repented and he's working on being a better man and a person, you know what? Great. He made a mistake. And we don't have to like it. But he has paid for it, and he'll still pay for it. Trust me, he'll still pay for it. He's going to hear it from people, and this is always going to be around him. So he just has to move forward and never do it again. But back to my original point. So Clark Schmidt, Michael King, these guys are not stretched out yet in terms of innings. Not throwing 200 innings in the minor leagues. Michael King was basically our long relief guy, spot starter last year. Clark Schmidt barely played up in the majors. There was no minor league season. This is a recipe for arm injuries. You got to build these guys slow now because they didn't have a season. All right, that's your rotation. And I don't want to hear about Lasagna as a starter. I'm over that. Put him in the goddamn bullpen and teach him how to be a power arm. You got one inning. Let it ride. He's got great stuff. And if you keep him in the bullpen, he could be a shutdown reliever. He could be. He's got that kind of good stuff. And if you just say, you got three outs, buddy, empty the tank. That's it. I don't want to see him starting anymore. He's not that good of a starter. And he's a four-inning guy. I'd rather him pitch one powerful inning. A seventh or an eighth inning if he, you know, we can build him up to that. He's a weapon. So forget about him starting. I don't want that shit. And then there's Severino, who won't be back to midseason. And then they're not going to let him, you know, open it up right away. He's going to be on an innings limit in a pitch count. He won't be peak Severino until 2022 when he's fully healed. So how much can we count on him? God forbid something happens to Cole. We are fucked. I don't understand. I mean, if I can see this, you know the Yankees can see this. There's people out there. So as we sit here and we wait on what's going to happen with LeMahieu, we're not doing anything else to fix that. There's bullpen guys. There's Archie Bradley, who I think is just dying to be a Yankee. You know, when he had that tweet wearing the CC jersey. And Brad Hand. You forgot these guys were out there because nobody's talking about them. And I feel like you can get them cheaper than you think you could. Especially Bradley, who's probably looking to come here anyway. I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer. I mean, he's a closer. A pretty good one. So, you know, maybe you can switch him with Chapman every now and then. Or Britton, you have three closers, in my opinion. And Brad Hand, who is another closer, who you could probably get on the cheap too, because of COVID. And nobody was out there looking for these guys. Then what are we waiting on? This should not affect DJ. Because I swear to God, if it's DJ and we're good, we're not good, bro. We're not good. We're going to need to see a little bit more here. All right? And I'm not just talking about big reward, low risk type of players. That's great for filler and depth. That's not something you you build your starting rotation and bullpen on. That's a little scary, man. The window is closing. All right. I would say it's 3/4 closed because we seem to get further and further away every postseason. So the way it's been going, we're getting eliminated in the wild card this year, and next year we're not even making the playoffs because we seem to regress every year. And if we're regressing, what are we doing? And it's not just the Stanton contract holding us up. Things have to be made, and moves have to be made. This fairy tale of $210 million is not attainable. You're going to have to spend money. You can't just spend it on one guy. LeMahieu, as good as he is, I don't think he can pitch. And if he's pitching, he ain't playing defense. So, what are we doing? We need more. So, let's hope somebody's listening and, you know, gets on this. Let's move here. Let's make some moves, all right? We're all getting a little restless now. Holidays are over. Time to get to work. So I watched a CC Sabathia documentary on HBO, Under the Grapefruit Tree. And let me tell you, if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor and go watch it. If you have seen it, I'm sure you're like me and was moved by it. It was incredibly touching. It was insightful. I knew about his alcoholism. We all did. I didn't know how bad it was. Just the crap that this guy had to go through with his father, his family, being the man, you know, the ace of the staff. And, you know, I feel like the alcoholism robbed him of at least 3 good years.
with the Yanks, when we all thought he was starting to have like a downslide, it wasn't even that. It was he was drunk, and his demons were getting the better of him. And it's rough. And for him to have the sight to go to rehab was great. His family, his friends, the team, they all pushed him towards it. He went. Seems like he's up. He's having a good life now. The man lost a shit ton of pounds and got himself all jacked. It was good. It was moving. All right. I almost teared up a few times myself. He is a forever Yankee. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. And we wish him the best. But do yourself a favor. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's outstanding. Tanaka, there's a rumor going out there that he has said that it's either the Yankees or Japan. And to me, I thought because of some contracts that went out there to pitchers who are of a lesser tier than Tanaka were way more money than the Yankees wanted to pay Tanaka. I felt like that price to knock out of their range. But if he's willing to take the money that you want to pay him, because I think the Yankees don't want to go more than $10 million. And I'm fine with that. I don't think I'd want to give him much more than that because he is starting to get older now and that elbow is still there. And I know we don't think about it anymore because he seems to be superhuman about avoiding Tommy John, but do you want it to happen when you have him? I mean, a 1 or 2 year deal, I feel like you can probably get away with it. I wouldn't go more than 2 years. A 2 year, $20 million, let's go sign it. And I would be happy to have Tanaka back for that money. There was reports out there that he said Japan or the Yankees, and which kind of makes sense to me. And then he kind of said that wasn't true yesterday, which is, you know, probably came from his agent. But that makes sense because his whole life is in Japan, and his wife, who's like apparently a big superstar in Japan, and the man is like a god there. So if he, you know, he pitched a couple years in Japan and called it quits, he'd be home more with his family, with the kids. And I can understand that. And if it ends up happening that way, then, you know, thanks for being here. You were pretty much what we thought you were going to be. And you were really good in the playoffs. Except for last time around. But all in all, pretty good Yankee career. And I would not mind having you back. Believe me, you'd be an anchor on this rotation as it stands right now. Saw this too yesterday. Aaron Boone is a lame duck manager. So keep an eye on that. That's a little interesting. I can't recall Joe Torre or Joe Girardi going into their final season without an extension, but I'm sure it has happened. Seems kind of weird to me because of how much Hal and Cashman have talked him up. They love him. He's great with the players, although we'll get into that next. Maybe not as great as we thought, but he seems to be the right kind of guy. And, you know, managing is more about how he handles the team and the players, because we all know that the nerds are the ones calling most of the shots on this team anyway. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, he gets blamed. So, but I'm surprised he's on a lame duck deal. I'm sure they'll take care of that, hopefully in the spring. I hate to see him go and, you know, uncertain about his future for the year, because who knows what that can do. So now we're on to the Gary Sanchez, Marley Rivera interview. And the gist of it is, we'll break it down. He started to realize that he was not Cole's catcher. And he thought at first it was because, you know, he played the night game and then there was a day game and other crap like that. And apparently he doesn't listen to the fans. So he doesn't know the lazy narrative, which I never really liked. I understand why some people say it. I'm going to specify, because I did listen to Marley when she was on with John Boy. And she thinks the lazy narrative is racist. And I don't want to speak for the people who say it. Although I've seen in most cases, the lazy narrative came to him running the bases, which I kind of understood, but he had so many hamstring injuries all the time. But he hasn't really been that way. The man works hard. Don't get me wrong. He works hard. And I believe in him. But when, you know, you had as bad season as you did last year, I understand it. Now, the lazy narrative, I'm not sure if it's racist or not. That, I guess, goes to rather the person who said it than just the fact that they said it. Because I think for the most part, the people who were saying it were, like I said, was in reference to how slow he runs to first base or whatever. So if it's racist connotations, I don't know. I'm not really going to comment on that. I guess it's a good thing I never called them lazy, so I don't have to deal with it. He started to notice that he got benched for Higgy a little bit more than he thought, excuse me, that he should be. Now, being Cole's personal catcher is embarrassing enough, I'm sure, because you're the guy, and then now your backup is his personal catcher. Higgy's a much better defensive catcher. And I know that he was saying that, you know, he's doing everything the team is telling him to do, but he felt like, apparently, he was never comfortable in that one leg stance. And you know what? Good. I agree. If that thing was just to be, you know, they were doing that just so you can frame low pitches, I don't give a fuck. You got to play how it makes you feel. And if you're not comfortable doing it, then it's going to rear its ugly head. So you got to play the way it makes you feel comfortable. And his 2019 season, defensively, he was much better. And he was playing like a regular catcher in a catcher's crouch. This one knee shit, I never understood. And I think he carried that into his at-bats. The man had to deal with a lot last year. And then all of us on top of him. He's lucky that nobody was allowed at the stadium, because, Christ, the killing he would have got from the fans. I don't know if he would have recovered from it. So hopefully he can recover from that and put this year behind. But the biggest point here of the article was, in the playoffs, when he got benched, he was not told about it. Now, everybody's out there saying, well, your play speaks for itself, and that is the reason. Okay, that is the reason, but he's the starting catcher, so you got to see where he's coming from. His name wasn't on the lineup, and that's how he found out, and he wasn't told about it. Now, Aaron Boone is supposed to be the great communicator, and I get it. You know, we're not here to massage players' egos. If you're playing poorly, you don't have a right to play. His gripe was, I wasn't, you know, playing as bad as some of the other guys at that time. Okay, I understand that. But those other guys, they have no options with. Because if there was better guys on the bench, they'd be in the starting lineup. So your argument falls through. But when it's you or Higgy or Kratz, who are both defensive upgrades, and you're only batting like 110, even your backup is better than you, dude. So I don't understand what you're bitching about. And honestly, he should have saw it coming. But I understand his point. And his point is right. He's not wrong in the way he's saying it. We're just viewing it as wrong because he sucked. Now, Boone should have called him before the lineup came out in the clubhouse and said, listen, bud, I need you to be ready. But we're going to go with Higgy because he's been playing better than you. I mean, it's just be honest. And if you need a Cashman in there, too, to kind of, you know, emphasize the point, great. Now, to his credit, he's been working out. He's been practicing. He's been training. He's playing winter ball, which guys of his level pretty much don't do anymore. It's mainly for the younger kids or guys trying to land a job. Granted, he's fighting for a job because I don't know if he's coming into camp as a starter, to be honest with you. He's on like a $6 million deal. This is it. If he doesn't win the job this year, if he doesn't perform, there's no way they're bringing him back next year. So he's fighting for his Yankee career right now. And you know what? The lazy narrative, I don't think will apply. I hope not. He's been busting his ass all offseason because he has pride and he cares. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's ease up on Gary a little bit, all right? A lot of us still support him. And some of you have given up on him. Although I suspect that when, you know, he starts playing back to form, you'll be back pretty damn quick. I get it. And we see you. So ease up on him a little bit. The guy is trying, all right? And if he comes out this year and he shits the bed, he's gone after this year anyway. We don't have to worry about him. He won't be our problem. If he comes back this year and kicks ass, well, then they're not letting him walk out the door. So it's all up to him, one way or the other. Now, we're going to end it on this. All right. And I'm not going to talk about how we got stronger. I guess I will talk about it. The AL East got weaker with the Rays trading Snell. And Boston hasn't done shit. And the Blue Jays really haven't done anything, although they can hit. So, I guess we got stronger addition by subtraction from our other teams. And I'm going to close out my original point that that's not enough to stand on. So, they should really try to do something. Just saying. Throwing that out there. Okay, so we're going to end it on this. Last topic. I come across yesterday. As you all know, I am trying to get Trevor Bauer on the show. I'm reaching out to his agent. I'm reaching out to him directly and apparently his marketing manager or whatever. And nothing yet. I guess I'm not big enough. I guess, you know, he doesn't want to talk to Yankee fans or whatever. But he kind of said something yesterday that had me like, whoa, what the hell? And he said, I'm going to pull it up here. I think I would have been ready for it. He said this in response to somebody. And the original tweet is unavailable, which means it got deleted. And he said this to a Jays fan. And he says, I'm in favor of the wall and keep illegal immigrants out. Come to this country legally or don't come, period. I need to know what that is in reference to, for one. And I reached out to his agent about it. Like, listen, you need to explain this because, you know, this guy's stock is about to take a hit. And, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of people out there on one side or the other side. And I'm not going to get into the politics of it. You know, you can think whatever you want to think. And I have my views, of course. But my main point with this right now is it's not good for his reputation to throw that out there. And I know some of you guys are thinking, and you're thinking, well, you know, the athletes supporting Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. Okay, but did that help their reputations too? Because they got trashed for all the kneeling and stuff. So they did it because they don't care. And that's what they want to do. And their reputation certainly didn't improve throughout a lot of circles, I'm sure. And the same thing is happening to Bauer here. Now, I need to know what that was in reference for. I'm hoping it was a joke that in response to the original tweet, because the guy's a Toronto fan, I'm thinking, I'm assuming he's Canadian, he lives in Canada, and Bauer went up there to meet the team. And it's a reference to a joke, keeping Americans out of Canada. And if that's the joke, then I'm fine with it. It doesn't land because you can't see the original post. But if it's a right-wing stance, he's going to piss off a lot of people. And, you know, obviously a lot of people will agree with him. But there's a lot of people in New York who don't feel that way. And you're already starting to see it. There's a lot of people out there already starting to trash him on Twitter. He's not having a good week. Because arguing with John Heyman. Now this. People are starting to be like, you know what, dude? Pick a fucking team already. And get out of my face. You're starting to overstay your welcome. You were brilliant with this whole digital thing and, you know, your marketing ability is outstanding. But then you say the wrong shit every now and then and you're going to pay the price because when you make yourself that visible, you got to be extra perfect. I need an explanation for this. I reached out to his agent, and I got nothing back. I even said, okay, fine, you don't have to answer me back. Who the fuck am I? I'm just a Yankee fan with a podcast. I reach a lot of people. But, you know, who the fuck am I? I'm nobody. I get it. But there's still thousands of people out there that saw this tweet. And they're probably sitting there going, what the fuck is that? And people who wanted him on the Yankees are like, you know what? Don't come here, dude. Don't come here. Like I said, I need to know what the hell that was all about. And I'm just reading some of the comments underneath that tweet, and a lot of people are just shocked by this. They're like, the fuck? And And yeah, if you don't, I mean, trust me, go look at him. You're going to see a lot of shock and a lot of like, what the hell's going on here? And a couple of like, yeah, joking about him signing in Boston. Now I get it, because Boston's a notorious racist city. Understandable. So he'll fit right in there if that's his outlook. Border cities, I'm sure, are like, yeah. I try not to show my hand of where I land politically. Kind of like Rosenberg on the K Show, wink, wink. Although I do a much better job of it earlier in my account, so I'm sure you can scroll back and kind of figure it out. I view myself not as a Democrat or a Republican, but as somebody who is much smarter than that. So take that for whatever you want. His personal feelings aside, the personal feelings aside of the people reading this tweet, where you stand on things, it's a bad marketing move. And that's where I'm going to focus my attention to it, because this is a Yankees podcast. This isn't a political podcast. All right. If it was, well, then we'd be having a much different discussion. But like I said, to his agent, and God, I hope you're listening. Somehow you get a hold of this. It's out there on the internet. You can find it. Come get your boy. There's something wrong here where, and maybe you need to have a talk with him first to see what this was about and let him explain it to you. And then you have to translate it to everybody, because you're selling this guy. You're selling him to the fans and to our teams. And, you know, I'm sure the owners don't give a fuck about that, because I'm sure they have their own personal views. And I'm sure, being billionaires, that we kind of know where their personal views land. I'm not going to speculate, but I think you know what I'm saying. So they probably don't give a shit about that comment. It doesn't mean anything to them in terms of his ability and able to pitch. And ultimately, they're kind of right. It doesn't. Because I'm paying you to play for my team and make us a better team and win us a title. I don't care about your politics. I don't care about your antics. You do that shit off the field, and just as long as it doesn't come back on us. And that is going to be a major conversation that he's going to have with an owner, that maybe an owner has never had with another player before. He is very visible. He carries a lot of weight. He has like 3 or 4 YouTube channels, apparently. He's probably the most recognizable, most famous baseball player there is right now. And you would say, that's crazy. Mike Trout is. Mike Trout is not visible. He doesn't put himself out there. All right? He's old school like that. He handles his business. He's a player. And when he's not playing ball, he lives his life. And, you know, he'll do a commercial here and there. Bauer doesn't have a family. Bauer is trying to build a media empire, so that when he retires in less than 10 years to 8 years or whatever, because he's 30 now, he'll be set up. And think about how much of a pain in the ass he's going to be to the sport when he doesn't have to worry about putting a uniform anymore. So he's going to be as unbearable as he is right now to some people, into the league and the commissioner and things like that. When he's done playing, he's going to be, well, times 3,000. Some of the comments on here are funny. I won't read any of it, but if you haven't seen them, do yourself a favor and go read them. But my point is, it's not a good look, dude. And if it was a joke, like I said, I hope it wasn't a, you know, an American going into Canada joke, because if it's a Mexican joke, it's not going to land. There's a lot of Latino people here. I'm half Latino myself. And it doesn't land, dude. You know, I'm half Puerto Rican. You wouldn't know that by looking at me, because I look more of my Irish side. But, you know, there's people out there, and I know how to take a joke, and I'm much more lenient to comedy. But if this wasn't a joke and this was just a blatant response to something, then come get your boy, Rachel. Come get your boy. You have to explain this. And I'm not going to let up on it. I'm going to tweet you again later on. I need an explanation for this. Because I do want him to pitch for this team. But if he's going to be one of those guys, it ain't going to work here. Because he's going to have to climb a hill that he put himself at the bottom of that he didn't need to. So I need clarification, because I really want him here on this team, because I think him and Cole would be a lights out combination, and it fixes the rotation, because you can let the other kids play. That's it. That's all you need. But I need an explanation. My listeners do. The Yankee fans do. Hell, every fan base of every team that, you know, supposedly is in on him does. So I'm hoping that something happens today. And if it does, I'll tweet it and we'll talk about it on my next show. But we're gonna need answers. And I'll leave it at that for now. Thanks for listening, everybody. Subscribe to this show wherever you see it. Tell your friends. Get them to subscribe. Leave a comment and a review on Apple. 5-star, please. Follow me on Twitter at the Savage Empire Pod. Send me a request if you haven't already. Let's be friends. You guys are what makes my show. And I do it all for you guys. We're all family here. Yankees, we're all savages. I hope all your New Year's plans come true. I hope you're having a good year so far. Hopefully COVID will die out soon. Hopefully we'll have a full baseball season. And if we do, I can't wait to meet a lot of you guys at the park. I'm going to try to get out there this year if there's any tickets available. I know it's going to be hard. That's for goddamn sure. But we're months away. We still got time. There's lots of shows in between. So stay with me. Get involved. This show is all about us. Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you later. And, of course, go Yankees.